Let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have seven, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of five and grandmother of three, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531.
Baruch Hashem Adonai, Shalom, Chavarim. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and peace to you, all our friends out there. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Glad you could join us here live on 1220 AM Christian Radio and on the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. So get your Bible, your pen, and a piece of paper. Get ready to take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word, especially on the end times, eschatology, the study of the end of days. And you can, don't forget, you can re-listen later in the week by going to shofarministries.net. Let's start out with prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you for the opportunity again to minister to your people and to hold up before you these prayer requests that come in the mail, come in the email. Lord, we know you are our healer, and we ask you please to move. We're asking actually for a miracle, for a certain Chrissy. She's a middle-aged woman, but she had a stroke, and she is on the brink of going into eternity. We just ask you, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you would move in that situation, speak to her heart, if not, just raise her up out of that bed in the hospital and save her. And we just know that you hear our prayers, and we want to thank you in advance for answering those prayers. We invite the Holy Spirit to be with us for our understanding and for your understanding, our listeners' understanding today. And we ask you this in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to you. By the way, Shabbat Shalom is a phrase that is used by the Jewish people and the Messianic Jewish people on the Sabbath to say peace to you on your Sabbath.
That's right.
That's right.
And you can say it Shalom Shabbat as a return.
Yes. And there's even a song written, Shabbat Shalom. I love that
Shabbat
song.
Shalom. Yes.
But when we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, praise God, we have Shabbat inside of us every single day.
That's right.
Amen to that. I would like to say, if you'd like to see John in person, he will be doing the worship for me when I teach at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland on Route 306 on July 8th. Now, that's a time change. It was before July 1st, but due to unforeseen circumstances, it is going to be July 8th. Okay, and actually it's probably better because the first weekend is 4th of July weekend, so July 8th maybe more people will be able to come.
Oh.
That's a Friday night, 7 p.m., and John will be opening up with Messianic worship. And, of course, I'll be speaking on end-time prophecy.
That's right, and I may have a couple of surprises for you, so bring a friend. And for those of you further north and east, Sheila will be out in Mentor at the Lakeshore Assembly of God, and that will be on July 14th. That's a Thursday at 7 p.m. You can check your phone book or call or email us for more specific directions.
My email is Sheila@shofarministries.net. And we got an email not too long ago and asked what my statement of faith was. You know, it's been a while since we've given it. And with all the false doctrines and false teachers out there, I thought it'd be certainly a good time to do it again because people need to know what we believe.
Yes. So I think that's important.
Be able to say, oh, you know what? I know what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
So our statement of faith is, we believe in the Trinity, that Jesus came in human flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, crucified to pay the penalty for our sins, and rose from the dead. 50 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit to empower all believers and is coming again in two stages. First, when we, the bride, who has accepted his betrothment, meet him in the air. And then 7 years later, when we, who are now called his wife, according to Revelation 19:7, will accompany him back to earth, closing the period called the wrath of God, to set up his kingdom on earth. And much of what we will be discussing on these radio programs encompasses latter-day events, because not too many people are talking about it.
And the ones that are saying that this is we don't need to be focusing on this, but I think it's the opposite. I think
opposite,
we should
yeah.
focus on it because, it, if anything, this should get you motivated.
Well, and you know what's interesting is that I was raised Catholic, and every time I went to Mass, we said the words, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And I can remember, even as a child, saying those words, thinking, oh, great. But, you know, when I talk to people now, they don't even think anything of it. Oh, well, that's not going to be for thousands of years. Why, John? Why does it have to be so far in the future? Why can't it be now when we're seeing all the signs that he told us to look for? Hello, is this a doll or what? I mean, come on.
All I know is most people can't ignore these signs. If you're a Christian, you're aware. Even if you're not, and
yeah.
you're not even a churchgoer, you can go, what's going on here?
Oh, I know.
No, there's something going on. We don't know the exact time.
Not the exact time.
But we will hear that last trumpet sound. But his word says in Luke 21:34 to pray to
escape
the days of vengeance.
Yeah.
And to look for the signs and to encourage each other as we see the day. I'm underlining that with my voice here.
Right.
The day approaching.
Right.
Sounds like he wants us to know.
Yeah,
idea, you know.
He says to encourage each other as we see the day
approaching.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, it means, obviously, we must be able to see
Hello?
The day.
I would think so.
I think for him to say that, yes. Okay.
And by the way, the word sign also means signal.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
It's a signal. He wants us to know. It's pretty amazing to me. I don't know. But, you know, many are going through difficult times right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people call me and ask, but I'm a Christian. Why am I going through this? Why am I going through this? And I could say the same for myself because I've been going through a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we're going through these trials and these times of testing so to earn more rewards in heaven because we're about to get to the beam of judgment.
Yes.
And he wants to give us rewards. He's like a father that wants to give their children rewards, don't you, John? Didn't you always want to give your kids good things to reward them for doing good things?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Me too.
Well, listen, we'll be opening the lines later in the hour. Hey, talk about your signs going out on the air. This program is a sign. So,
yeah.
But please keep your questions to the topic of the end times because that's the days we're in. Last days doesn't mean it can mean just more than one day. And the last 2,000 years since our Lord and Savior went back to heaven. It's been just 2 days, and that's plural.
That's right.
So, and not a lot of information is really getting taught at the local churches on this today. Some are, and we really encourage you to seek those churches out. We need to know how truly close we are to that sound of that last trumpet. And boy, that last trumpet, that's a whole teaching right there. Maybe you could say something about that later on the show.
Yes,
if we have time.
I certainly can, and I've done it in the past. And again, if people just want to go to the archives on my webpage,
mm-hmm.
They hit on the radio, click on the radio podcast, and it's all labeled as
mm-hmm.
to what we talked about that day, and the last trumpet is there. But we will reiterate a little bit today also.
Oh, please do.
Okay. But first we need to give a little bit of news.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Yeah. Israel, of course. Mm-hmm. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Thursday night that there could be an end to the conflict, but it has to be with the Palestinian leaders uttering six simple words. Mm. Those words are that they can accept a Jewish state. Do you think they'll ever do that, John?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be when Fonzie tried to say I'm sorry on Happy Days. He just could not get the words out. And I don't think they will be.
I can tell you've been watching reruns, huh?
Yes,
okay. Well, here, let me tell you what I think.
Okay.
I never thought that they would, because Hamas, Hezbollah, they're pretty dogmatic, and it's in their charter, and they'll never remove that.
Right.
But I think on the surface, just to go ahead and get their Palestinian state done, they could lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because they believe that you can lie, it's okay to lie to further its cause.
Well, I think that's pretty much a given in any government these days.
Good point.
Yeah.
But no, I do think that they just might go along with the program just so that they can get their separate Palestinian state. In September, by the way, they're going to go in front of the UN. And so far, it looks like the UN's going to say okay because they have individual nations that have already accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
And
reminds me of a scripture, and I see you put something in here, and it looks like it's Joel 3, and I'm guessing that this is something about dividing the land.
We know it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen because it says right here. He says, "I'm going to enter into judgment with them because they have scattered my people and they have divided up my land."
That's pretty plain.
And then he even goes on in the first verse that says it'll happen when the captives come back. And, of course, now we know that most of them are back. There's still a lot to come, and they will come eventually.
And this is the big gathering. Now, you know, the prophets talk about the little gatherings after the Babylonian, Persian exiles, that we'll call them. But this was after, this is the one predicted by Isaiah and Jeremiah about returning after many generations, and that's why we're seeing that desert bloom and that.
I mean, that in itself is such a miracle. That is probably the biggest sign to know that we're in the last days.
Yeah,
from 1948 on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now, thanks to our dear president, Palestinian leader Abbas, and I'm just going to say Abbas from now on, just so that everybody knows. But now he's claiming that Israel has to go back to their 1967 lines, and that's the real borders for Israel. And the reason he's saying that is because he heard our own president say it on national TV. So now they're going for it. Prior to that, they were not saying anything about that. Not really. I mean, a little bit, but certainly not as dogmatic as they are now.
I'll take your word for it. You monitor the news very closely. So
I try.
Yes.
But did you know that in President Obama's book, he wrote a book called The Audacity of Hope. Right in it, and I'm going to quote, it states, "When the ill winds blow, I," meaning Obama, "will always stand with the Muslims."
Hmm. That seems pretty direct and to the point, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
Mm-hmm.
So after he said this on national TV, pre-67 borders, Netanyahu, as most of you know that follow the news, he said, "No way." It was very applauding, actually. I was really feeling great that he was able to stand up to our president. He says, "There's no way that we can go back to our 67 borders. They're indefensible." And, of course, then Obama backpedals a little bit and says, "Well, I didn't mean totally. I met with some agreeable land swaps."
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay? But the main problem is the damage was done. That was the fuel to the Muslims to increase tensions
for the
prospects.
And, you know, the whole world, whether you like it or not, looks to America for leadership.
Yeah.
And the leader of the Western world just said those words.
And so now that's what people are saying, and the Muslims took it. And after Bibi's response, Netanyahu's response, said, "Oh, no, it's never going to happen," then Abbas says, "Well, now that's a declaration for war."
Mm-hmm.
Wars, rumors of wars.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Maybe the Psalm 83 war, right?
Oh, I know. I'm waiting for that one. Hamas, who, oh my gosh, they are actually a small faction of the Muslim Brotherhood from many years ago. Mm-hmm. And we won't get into that right now, but basically they have joined again the Palestinians, Fatah. Mm-hmm. That's Abbas's group called the Fatah. And they joined with them now, despite Obama's recent backpedaling about the land swaps.
Mm-hmm.
But they joined him, and I believe that they think that the United States will really not help Israel at this point.
And they get every reason to, I think, right?
Yeah. So they joined together, and, of course, that helps them get more money because we give Palestinians millions of dollars every year.
And so does Israel.
And so does Israel. That's right. So now Hamas gets a lot of that money.
<It's>
and
not,
they've done that before, and
well,
we've talked
yeah,
about
we've
it before.
About,
I mean,
yeah.
It's just, you know, part of their strategy.
It's frustrating, though, here, just to see it,
yeah.
You know.
But I want to mention, too, that they're, in a private conversation in Cairo, there was some undercover sources, and they actually quoted Abbas asking his Egyptian host at the time, mm-hmm. rhetorically, "Oh, why are those Israelis complaining to me? They should complain to Obama. I'm only acting out his guidelines by helping the Muslim Brotherhood's integration in the Middle East governance."
That's a quote?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much so. So everybody pretty much knows that Obama wants the Muslim Brotherhood in the Middle East, and he's doing everything he can to get rid of the despots, so-called despots like Mubarak and Gaddafi,
mm-hmm.
and the guy in Yemen, and just everywhere, and he's bringing in so-called moderate Muslim Brotherhood,
okay,
which
well,
aren't moderate at all.
Yeah, I really hope you're wrong on this, because of the sinister beginnings of the Muslim Brotherhood,
yes.
which we're not going to get into now, but it's scary.
Yeah, you know, with Nazis.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's very scary.
So what's going on with Syria? I just want to take a few minutes. It's complicated, but I'm going to try to make it as easy as possible. But the present president, Bashar Assad, okay,
mm-hmm.
he's fighting the popular uprising.
Oh, this is Syria's president, right?
This is Syria, mm-hmm. right, and he's fighting against the uprising, which, by the way, he's killed hundreds.
Hmm.
I mean, lots of people. But he is actually also fighting because he knows that Obama wants the Muslim Brotherhood in there.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, whose name was Hafez, Hafez,
mm-hmm.
hated the Muslim Brotherhood and, in fact, slaughtered many of them. Maybe hundreds. I don't know how many. But so there's always, it goes way back, there's that problem there. So basically, Turkey wants Assad out of there also.
Hmm.
In fact, Syria has troops on the border of Turkey and Syria right now, right today.
Well, that does not sound good.
No, and Turkey is already taking in quite a few refugees from Syria that have escaped.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants Assad out of there. So because of that, him and Erdogan, his name is Erdogan, the president of Turkey.
Turkey, yeah.
He is now joining with Israel, and that is a miracle in itself because
they've not been getting along really
not
good.
Not lately, anyway.
Yeah.
But because of Syria, they are going to join with Israel to try to get Assad out of there. So that's what's going on right now. But what I really wanted to bring forth is the fact that Isaiah 17:1 says that Damascus, which is the capital of Syria,
mm-hmm.
it says it's going to be destroyed.
And that's never happened before because this city has a distinction of being one of the most ancient cities in the world. And not only that, it has never been destroyed.
That's right.
No one's ever destroyed Damascus.
But I think it's about to.
Well, if it says it in Isaiah, you can count it's going to happen.
Well, you know, there's always been a question, will it happen during the tribulation or not?
Right. Yeah.
And if you read it closely, you see that in that day doesn't begin until verse 4, and this is before that.
In Isaiah?
Yes.
Okay.
So possibly it could happen just before the tribulation begins. So if it does, man, you better get your hat on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Obama's giving the nod mm-hmm. because, again, he wants Assad out of there as well. He wants to be able to rule through the Muslim Brotherhood the whole entire Middle East. That's his goal.
Hmm. That was a big hmm.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Anyhow, the notion that Israel could now achieve security through peace talks is basically a pipe dream, because no Palestinian negotiator will think of seeking fewer concessions from Israel than the ones laid down already by the U.S. president. So, basically that's what's happening. Obama's speech was a starting point, and now is that's what they're going for.
Well, you know, you said that he would do that, remember?
Yes, I did, because that's what he does. Remember back in 2009, the settlement freezes? Remember he said, okay, Israel cannot build anymore in Jewish portion of the West Bank?
Yeah, right.
Okay. That was not the Palestinians' idea. That was Obama's idea.
Yeah.
And so as soon as Obama said it, of course, the Palestinians went along with it and said, okay, you can't do that. But they were just as shocked as anybody.
Wow.
But again, Obama wants Israel defeated so the Muslim Brotherhood can rule the Middle East. And I think he's under the thumb of George Soros, and that's a whole nother program. But
I think there's somebody in the media covering that right now. So
yes, there is, isn't there? Netanyahu is actually using, I don't know, if it's psychological strategy or if he really means it, I don't know. But I heard him just the other day saying, well, you know, maybe it would even be better if we had our own separate area and they had their own separate area, and they wouldn't be able to come in ours and we wouldn't come in theirs, and maybe it would even be better. So it sounds to me like Netanyahu is ready to do it.
He might be ready for that peace agreement.
Yeah, and trying to justify it.
And try to justify
it. But the problem is he's giving away more land to do it. And the Bible says judgment is coming for it.
Yes. Dividing up that land.
Yes.
Hmm.
Okay, you know what? I think we're going to take our quick break right now.
We're just getting started. Shofar Ministries is a 501c3. And any and all tax donations are tax deductible, and they're very important because this Hebrew Roots ministry is vital. Please consider being a partner with us in this endeavor. You can use PayPal on our website or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter. It's full of gold nuggets and current events of the last days here and in Israel. And you can check out the webpage. All our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there. And, of course, DVD teachings are also available, and they make a great gift. The lines will be open when we come back if you have a question on the end times. The number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And since we cover such a great big area on the radio, we'd like to visit you at your church for an evening of Messianic worship and a timely message. So call us with your pastor's name, and we'll give him a call to see when a convenient time will be. And that number for that is 440-834-9006. Don't go away. Stay with us. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break, and then we're coming back with Miss Laura Fedor right from Lake County, Ohio. So stay with us.
The world is changing more quickly than ever before, and it can be hard to keep up. Don't let technology keep you from taking part in everything the 21st century has to offer. Connect Ohio wants to help get every citizen online. With high-speed internet service, you can do more than you ever imagined. With free local classes, it's easy.
My business has really picked up since I started using email to get with my customers. Now I can respond to them more quickly and build my customer base at the same time.
Money's tight, and I couldn't find time to take classes since I live so far from campus. Now, I can take classes online and earn my degree.
My family lives too far away to visit more than once a year. Now I can see my grandkids anytime I want, and it's free over any broadband connection.
Free computer classes are forming at your local library or community college. Find out what you can do with broadband. To enroll, call Connect Ohio at 1-855-NOW-I-CAN. Sponsored by Connect Ohio and aired by the OAB and this station.
Do you own a car you no longer want, and you don't have the time or energy to sell it? Donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Your donation is tax deductible, and your car will be towed away for free. Call 1-800-491-7495. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, trucks, vans, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. Call now. Your donation will help those in need. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-491-7495. 1-800-491-7495. Donating is easy, it's tax deductible, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher by donating. Call 1-800-491-7495. 1-800-491-7495.
Operator, give information, give me long distance, long distance.
Laura Fedor, friend of ours, and of course her dad doing a great job promoting her. Get a chance to hear her live in the area. Go out and hear her. She is a very good singer.
If you want her for your church, give me a call. I'll give you her
number. Yeah. We can arrange that for you.
Yes, we can. You know what? I forgot. I wanted to mention one thing. Do you know what they're actually trying to do in San Francisco? There is a bill coming up to be voted on in November. They want to outlaw circumcision. And
isn't
that what Antiochus Epiphanes did in 175 B.C.?
Yes. And this is a disturbing thing because all through history, the history of Jews in Europe and other places has been a sad history of laws like this being passed against them for no other reason than fear and racism.
I think the gay community wants to get rid of the Jews.
I don't know.
They'll leave. They'll definitely leave if that's against the law.
Yes. In Norway or one of the Scandinavian countries, forgive me if I mentioned the wrong one there, but they're outlawing ritual slaughtering, which is, kosher slaughtering of beef, for no other reason than what?
20 years ago, when we talked about Jews going back home, we thought, well, how are they ever going to leave America? Well, here's one of the ways.
Yes. If this gets any worse, they will.
Yeah. Also, one other thing, and you probably already heard about this, that at the U.S. Open a couple weeks ago, or maybe, I don't know how long ago, not too long ago.
Is that a golf thing?
Yes, it's a golf thing. Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I heard about it. And the kids recited the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, NBC edited the words, "Under God, indivisible." There was, like, silence when that part came up.
So you saw their mouths move or something and nothing came out?
Nothing came out. Oh. They just, "Under God, indivisible" was taken right out of it. And you know what? They wonder why God is lifting his hand of protection off of the United States. And they go, why is God allowing this? Well, here's one example. We're taking God out of everything.
And you said that that golf tournament was in Washington?
Like, yes, Washington.
Oh, my goodness.
It's disgusting.
Well, it's unreal because the Bible scriptures are all over the buildings in Washington. It's just part of our history, and we're trying to deny it now. It's so silly.
I know. It's awful. Hey, we have a caller.
Oh, okay.
We do, and his name is Keith. Keith, you're on the line. You have a question?
How are you? I do enjoy your show. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Keith.
Oh, thanks.
I used to live in Washington, and I can tell you that city's becoming more and more secular every day.
Really?
But, I just wanted to mention that, speaking of something disturbing, I'm a retired Air Force officer, and 15 years ago, myself and about, I think maybe 12 Marines went to visit Israel ostensibly to look at the strategic issues of giving up the Golan Heights and the West Bank, and what that does is effectively cuts the country of Israel in half. And certainly accelerates their own demise. But what I found exceptionally interesting and equally disturbing is that there is a large segment of the Israeli population that are pacifists.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Somewhat understand that based on the history and the amount of violence. But on the other hand, these pacifists who generally align themselves with the Likud party are willing to give up land.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Never mind the historical significance of there's never been peace when land has been given up.
Right.
But let alone the
strategic. I'm afraid that if we being the Israelis, I suppose, you know, get cyclically will vote out the Likud party and bring in their Labor Party guys again.
Yes.
And they are going to be, to a certain extent, I think Israelis are their own worst enemy.
I agree with you. I agree with you. In fact, when I was over in Israel, I thought the same thing. I actually heard the military say that Allah was the same God of their Bible. And I couldn't believe it. But then you know what I found out, and you probably already know this, but, you know, the religious do not have to go into the military. For those that study the Torah, they do not have to go in the military at all. So the military is mostly secular because of that, you know, they have to go in where the religious do not. That's
right.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there's just one last point that I found interesting.
Sure, go ahead.
We were briefed by a brigadier general in the Israeli army who said to us, although I'm guessing he had some religious underpinnings to this comment, but he said that when we start beating up on each other, then the state of Israel will quickly die, and that is beating up these settlers, moving them out of the settlement camps.
Yeah.
So when we turn on each other, we are finished, and I certainly believe that's exactly what's happening.
Well, it is happening, but thank God we have scripture that we know God is going to step in before it's too late. But
absolutely right. God bless you both.
Oh, well, thank you for
God
calling in.
God bless you, and thank you for your service to our country, Keith. We appreciate that.
All right, thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Well,
good call.
Yeah, it was very nice. And Last Trumpet, we want to talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, we do, because, you know, if anything with end times, you have to have your trumpets straight.
Yes, you sure do.
You have to,
because
John Philip Sousa had to have his trumpets straight, and so do you.
I can't tell you, John, how many times people have come up to me angry, and I just, please don't be so angry when
before you use
just
the
because you don't agree with me. You don't have to be so angry. But they come up and they go, I know that we're going through the tribulation. What makes you so special to think that you're not? Well, of course, immediately I say, well, God says, pray that we can escape. So that's one of the reasons I am an escapist. And God calls me that, you know. But the other thing is it's, you know, we're not to be here for Daniel's 70th week. And we've talked about this many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to Jewish time to finish that last part of the prophecy that Daniel had. But also, there are certain expressions that are used in the Old Testament, in actually the first century,
mm-hmm.
and it's taught in the school of Hillel, and I'm sure Paul knew these idioms or phrases.
Oh, absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. They're all connected with the feasts.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But people will say to me, I know we're going through the tribulation because we're still here at the seventh trumpet, you know, and I go, whoa. First of all, the elect in the tribulation period are the tribulation saints. It's not the bride.
That won't be us. Are you a tribulation saint?
No.
Neither am I.
No. I mean, we're the elect now, but there's going to be another elect. And in the Old Testament, Israel was called the elect in Isaiah.
Right.
So the last trumpet is not the seventh trumpet. Two different words. Anyway.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
So let me just explain. And this is pretty simple, actually. We have idioms in America, don't we, John?
That's right.
You want to give me one?
Well, sure. We can say something like Turkey Day. You know what I'm talking about, right?
And I love to use that one because it's so obvious.
It is obvious.
You know, but if you even talk about certain things happening,
mm-hmm.
a description, which is what the Jews did a lot in the Old Testament, they described things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking about hanging your mistletoe, I'm going to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, you might not be hanging your mistletoe. You know what I'm getting at. Okay.
I know what you're getting at, but they're figures of speech that everyone knows what they mean, and they're a short way of saying something.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And we even know that no one knows the day of the hour is actually a
figure of speech,
too, but we're not going to go there today.
Not today.
We're going to go there next time.
Okay.
But, okay, as far as the trumpets go, there was three major idioms for a certain feast with the trumpets. The first trumpet ever blown in the Bible was Exodus 19 by God himself. Right?
That's right.
And what feast day, then, does that first trumpet represent?
That represents Pentecost.
Right, because it was the first time ever they heard a trumpet.
That's right, and we would call that first trumpet.
Right.
And you said first trumpet back in first century. They would say, oh, you're talking about Shavuos or Tabernacles. Or, I don't know why I get that mess. You're talking about
Pentecost. That's all right. John gets confused sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Not very often.
Pentecost is a weird word, but it just means what? 50. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so that got the idiom first trumpet. Now, there's another trumpet that I'm going to skip, and I'm going to go to the last trumpet.
Okay.
No.
You're going to skip all those trumpets?
I'm going to skip the last trumpet and go to the great trumpet.
The great trumpet. Oh, there's a great trumpet.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was always blown on a Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in the end of Matthew, at the end of the tribulation period, you're going to see that great trumpet blown. It would represent a Yom Kippur. So I always felt that Jesus would come back in a Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the last trumpet is specifically for the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. And that's because it was also called the Feast of Trumpets.
Mm-hmm.
And 100 trumpets were blown on Rosh Hashanah. So at the last trumpet, they would usher in the new year. It was the anniversary of the creation of the world. So it received the idiom, the last trumpet. It has nothing to do with the seventh trumpet.
Right.
It is an idiom for Rosh Hashanah.
Why did Paul give us this information?
Because he wanted us to know. But let me just show you something in Thessalonians. Can we go there?
Yeah.
Okay. And this is very famous rapture scripture, quoted often, which, by the way, it is not the only rapture scripture. And in fact, I've got 2 pages of rapture scriptures, and they're all on my webpage. If anyone wants to go and read them, print it out or whatever, Old Testament and New Testament, that refer to the fact that there's going to be a rapture that is going to take place before the tribulation period.
Yes, there's literal descriptions and there are figurative descriptions. And there's,
that's right.
Right. Pictures and
literal. That's right.
Hmm.
All right, 1 Thessalonians 4. We will go to verse 16.
Okay.
For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, not later, with them,
mm-hmm.
in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And so therefore, comfort one another with these words.
But Sheila, it just says trumpet, a trumpet of God.
That's right. It does.
It's not specific. It just says with the trumpet of God.
Okay. So naturally people could think, okay, maybe that means the seventh trumpet.
Or yeah, or it could mean even Pentecost. You know, you would think because it's the trumpet of God. You know, it's not specific. So it could be.
Got it.
Yeah.
So when was Corinthians wrote? Was it before or after Thessalonians?
I know it was before I was born. Actually, scholars, I know the answer to this. Scholars say that Thessalonians was actually written before Corinthians.
Even though
it's placed after Corinthians in our Bibles, it was written before.
Yes, it was. So, therefore,
mm-hmm.
when you go to 1 Corinthians 15:51 and read the same passage written by Paul, there's just one little change.
Okay.
Okay, and I think we need to see that.
And that's 1 Corinthians?
1 Corinthians 15:51.
Mm-hmm.
Paul starts out by saying, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." Now, the word is sowed, and that always means, a mystery means something that has not been revealed before. Okay?
Okay, so he's saying, I'm
about
to tell
you
a secret.
That's never been told before. Remember,
okay.
this was written after Thessalonians.
Okay.
So he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Well, that's nothing new. We learned that in Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay, so the only thing there that I see that I didn't see in Thessalonians is the fact that he's calling it now the last trumpet.
He's being specific.
Right. To me, I believe he was giving people a clue. But,
well, he said that.
But okay. Yeah, but only to those that will know the deeper truths of God, the ones that are closer to Jesus, the ones that hunger for his knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to remember, as far as salvation goes, he's no respecter of persons. Anyone that is saved is saved.
Right.
But even when he walked the earth, he had his close comrades.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yes,
who were
he
they?
Did. They were the 12 apostles.
And
out of those?
Out of those.
There were there was two. Three, actually.
Maybe three.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Peter, James, and John.
And John. And,
okay.
and those are the ones that he took them up to the mountain of Transfiguration. You know, just, you know.
They knew more than the others.
Yes.
We can know more if you're willing to put in the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you are willing to study a little bit, especially your Hebraic roots, you will know that the last trumpet is an idiom
mm-hmm.
for a very specific feast day called Rosh Hashanah, the birthday of the world, which, by the way, lasts for 2 days,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it was because of the new moon.
Now, the new moon is the moon you don't see, and it just pops out as a little sliver, but you're never sure when or where it's going to pop out, right?
Right. So mm-hmm. here we are talking about something I didn't think we would have time to do, but we do.
Mm-hmm.
So then it received an idiom, no one knows the day or the hour, when this new moon would appear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's talking about Rosh Hashanah.
That's Turkey Day, folks. You know what I'm talking about. And when they said no one knows the day or the hour, they knew it. And when Paul said, Paul said at the last shofar or trumpet, that his church knew what he was talking about.
That's
and
right.
You can know, too, and so can we.
Yeah, but now, do we know the exact time? No.
Well, some
don't
claim
to,
but
don't
no,
even
we
know
don't.
Which day. I don't even know what year.
I don't either.
But I know that he's fulfilled 4 of the 7 appointments that he made with man in Leviticus 23, and I believe that he'll fulfill the last 3 with his second coming, the first one being the rapture of the church.
And he has not done this for Rosh Hashanah. He's got to fulfill that literally.
He does.
Yeah. So.
I do think he was, that Feast of Tabernacles will have a double fulfillment. Because
yes.
As a baby, he was born. But he will set up his kingdom during Feast of Tabernacles, too. Season of joy.
So now that we know, we can know the season. And we can know that every time that we see a lot of these prophecies coming into play in the news and stuff, and we're getting close to this particular season. It's in the fall, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's why I love the fall so much.
Yeah, it's a good time to let's get our lives together. Let's start witnessing.
Here's the thing. Prophecy, I was saved on an end time message.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I believe that it can stir people up. I really do. And today the church is sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
I know we need to get more prophecy teaching, the prophets of the Bible. I'm not talking about the thus saith the Lord type of stuff.
Right, right. We're talking,
mm-hmm. Solid Bible teaching of the prophets to see that we really are at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And if so, then you will be more excited to tell others about Jesus Christ. Time is running out.
And it's another thing, too. You will pay a little more attention to your own life and how you need to submit to God,
sure.
to the Lord Jesus more in your life. Because you know is close,
mm-hmm.
and you do want to present, you want to be a bride that he can be proud of. You want to be somebody that he could say, well done, faithful servant.
And how would we achieve that? By telling others that is coming soon.
Yes.
Because here's the thing, John. It's so easy to grow weary when doing good.
It is.
Because people don't want to hear it anymore.
That's right.
And I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they are in other areas, other countries. Muslims are getting saved. Jewish people are getting saved like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, a foreshadow of what's going to happen during the tribulation. Every single thing that's happening during the tribulation or will happen, we're seeing foreshadows of it now,
mm-hmm.
including salvations. Just not a lot here in America because we've been given so much.
Yes.
And we're taking God out of the equation.
We have been given a feast of the Word of God in
this
country and tons of opportunity. And it's just like that. Yeah. We were talking about Thanksgiving, but just like that big Thanksgiving meal, what usually happens to me is I go into the living room and I sit on a nice, comfortable chair and I fall asleep.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what's happened to the church.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And when I try to get into churches to say, hey, you know what, let me come and teach a little bit about what's going on. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's too divisive, and I don't know, if you've got the right answers. And
mm-hmm.
It's really hard.
Well, what
it's
do
very
we,
hard.
What do we always say? We say check the stuff out for yourself.
Well, of course. Mm-hmm. I that's why I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just say what I think.
Right.
I try to show you verse by verse why I believe what I believe and incorporate our Hebraic roots in it and things like that.
And then you encourage your listeners and your students to get the same reference books you have and study it yourself.
That's right.
You know?
Get into that.
Amen.
But anyway, one of the other things that I've been reading lately, and I'm not saying go out and read this because I think you should be in your Bible more than anything, I've been doing a little bit of homework on the book of Enoch.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
it's not included in the canon of Scripture, but it was very popular in the first 700 years of the, A.D.,
mm-hmm.
first 700 years. Then it kind of disappeared during the Dark Ages, and then it reappeared again in the late 1700s in an area around Ethiopia. Now, copies of these ancient Hebrew writings were also found at Qumran as part of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which would date it written before Christ's arrival.
Okay.
And that's kind of contrary to what skeptics had previously concluded. You know, they all want to say that things were written later.
Well, I know it's not this book of Enoch is not in our Bible, but
no,
it's not
part of the canon, and it really shouldn't be.
But the Apostle Peter quotes from it.
Yes, he did, and I think they were reading it a lot because, from what I've been reading, is that Enoch was actually the first one that even learned how to do the Hebrew writing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that God taught him. And let's face it, the Bible says he walked with God. And I think it's a little more than just walking.
I think so. Well, if you walk with God, that's the very, Adam walked with God, and he was able to name every species of animal
that's
on the planet. So,
that's right. But I believe that he was the first one to write these writings, that it got put on the Noah's Ark. Okay?
And
I don't think it should be part of canon because there are a few translation problems that it's obvious when you read it, which
mm-hmm.
is what they are, and if you have discernment, you can pull those out. But I think we're going to talk about it a little bit from here and a little bit, next time we get together and just a little bit here and there
to
kind of enhance it. But I'm very careful about extra resources that I read.
Mm-hmm.
They should be highly recommended and must enhance biblical knowledge, never superseding it.
Right.
As an example, Josephus, he's a great historian and has added much depth to my scriptural understanding, as had people like George Foote Morse, First Century Judaism, things like that. Archaeological resource books will also add to your evangelical witnessing, as well as scientific and medical collaboration.
There's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Right.
Yes.
And again, I'm cautious, but I think we should sit up and take notice when we see particular books suggested from authors of Scripture, since we know the Bible is inspired by God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually quite a few. And for those of you that get my newsletter, I actually included all the different extra books that the Bible says that we should read. There's quite a few of them. So I hope you'll go to my newsletter. It's on my webpage. If you would like to be on my newsletter list, please email me, sheila@shofarministries.net, and I will certainly send you the newsletter.
Now, how do we get started on this, on the Book of Enoch, anyway? What got us into that?
Well, J.R. Church, who I kind of like,
he
studied it thoroughly, and I've been reading some of his writings. He's since passed away not too long ago. And I've been reading sort of his things. So it's quite interesting, and I'm just going to, you know, like, again, once in a while, highlight some of the things that he talks about, because he was given lots of visions. And
that's interesting, because, you know, Peter's using it as reference for the last days when in his book. And Jude, I think, uses it. Maybe.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Yes, he does.
And
so,
all in association with the last days. So there's some interesting things in there for that.
That's right. I can't believe that we only have a few minutes left. We never got to the Bilderbergers, which, by the way, met a few weeks ago. And basically, they just want to try to get the New World Order in gear.
And these are the people with the money. And to make a long story,
rich men of the earth.
Rich men of the earth. And what do the rich men of the earth finance? They finance governments.
Yes, right.
And there's a lot of governments that need financing right now.
That's right. Okay, well, we got to close. We'll be back on July 9th at a new time. 8 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness.
July 9th, 8 o'clock. Please mark your calendars, people.
Okay. So if you've never made Jesus Lord of your whole life, or maybe you are concerned that you might be one of those who only have the head knowledge but not really the heart conviction, hey, it's simple. Just get on your knees right now. Repent, particularly of those sins that seem to be lingering in your life. Then commit or even recommit your whole body, soul, and spirit to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. But always your choice to choose him, it's your choice, and it's your will, and you decide where you want to spend eternity. God's there waiting for you. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide for yourself where you go. So do that right now if you haven't, and God will reveal himself to you, and you will be born again, and get you going on the right path.
Just in time.
Just in time, right?
Yes, I believe so. I think we're very close, John.
Hosea 6:6 says, I desire, God speaking, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Why?
Because he wants us to know him.
That's right. That's right. And the start of knowing him is to receive Jesus as your Savior. Now, if you have a question for Sheila, or if you would like her to speak at your church or group, you could just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And a reminder that Sheila will be teaching on end time prophecies, and this is at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, and that's 11815 Chillicothe Road, or Route 306, and this is on July 8th.
Yes, the night before that we will be here on Saturday. That's a Friday night.
That's a Friday night. It starts at 7 p.m. Be sure you come out. You won't want to miss that. And as well as Thursday, July 14th in Mentor. Up by the lake, that's at 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard at Lakeshore Assembly of God. And that's at 7 p.m. too. Don't forget, all your donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebrew.
Oh, they really are.
Please pray about helping to sponsor Shofar Ministries.
Sponsor us.
Yes. And a great, okay, well, we're going to go to the Aaronic blessing. Yevrech Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us next time, Saturday, July 9th at 8 o'clock. Till then, sha'alu, shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Not maybe, shall.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 12.